Legal Matters.
And Advocate Maud Letzia is my guest. She is from Barta McKellar Attorneys. Advocate, thank you so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate your time.
No worries. Thank you.
So, the issue of dismissal after retirement age is always very interesting for me because, first of all, do we have a mandatory retirement age in South Africa? I ask this question because, you know, if I go to Parliament and I look at the parliamentarians there, I wonder whether that particular law, if it exists, is applicable to everybody. But clearly it's not if it does exist. And what is the retirement age for South Africans at this point in time, Maud?
I think it depends from business to business, and mostly as with the case that was recently in news where the Labour Board found that the person at 67 was entitled to be dismissed in terms of their age. I think it's you need to make sure that, especially if you're employed later in your life, that you are aware of what the retirement policies are. But I also think that it's important to know that there is no law that forces you to retire at a specific age. Obviously, in South Africa, you can start claiming a substantial pension if you don't have enough money of your own from age 60 onwards. But that's not to say that everybody has to retire at the age 60. In actual fact, I think most pension funds will tell you that if you keep saving from 65 to 70 and don't retire early, you actually almost double your pension fund. So it's financially beneficial to stay in the workforce until the age of 70. So there's no universal retirement age, and it is determined by contract.
So each company can set out a policy that determines when the people they employ may be retired?
Yes. I think what is unfortunate is that, you know, if that policy is, for instance, not universally applied, I mean, you referred to parliamentarians. There are MPs that I know of that have been forced to retire early because they reached a parliamentarian, you know, retirement age. But then there are others, if we look at our top leaders in the various parties, that carry on, you know, into their 70s. And so there's no universal enforcement of that rule. And I think that's why, you know, if a employer decides to dismiss in terms of a age restriction in the employment contract of the employee, they need to be very careful that it is not seen to be for any other reason. Personally, if I was advising an employer, I would say please make sure that, first of all, you don't have any hidden objectives, be it race, be it a disciplinary issue that you didn't deal with according to the proper channel, and now you suddenly realize, oh, wait, this guy or lady has reached retirement age, let's retire them. Because then you would face definite difficulties because the Constitution protects us against discrimination based on age. So I think the policy should be clear. It should be definitely universally applied, and there has to be adequate notice. I mean, you can't tell somebody, in my opinion, in any event, I think it's just wrong to tell people after they've carried on working after the age of 67 that, sorry, we're firing you now. You know, I feel that they should at least be warned, in my opinion, a year or two in advance to be told, look, you are coming up to retirement age at 65 or 60 or whatever it might be, the company policy, and that, you know, as and when that arises, you need to, first of all, make provision for your pension to move it over to an annuity or something of your choice. You know, what options you have if you cash it out, the tax implications. You know, so they need to advise you so that you can make adequate provision for it. And I think if they don't, you certainly have a means to attack it in terms of fairness. So, yeah, they can't create a reasonable expectation that they're going to keep you on after retirement age and then simply dump you. That's my opinion.
Which is what seems to have happened in this case, and you let us know how much we can refer to this particular case. I'm not sure whether it's still in the courts or not, that made some headlines around five individuals that were under the impression that they'd received a tacit indication that their employment contracts would continue beyond their retirement age. But I want to go back, Maud, to what sounds to me, at least from the onset, that it's very arbitrary. There's no very clear policy around the issue of retirement age. As you've pointed out, you say to me that there is no specific law. In other words, we can't point to a law that is to be universally applied for saying that so-and-so at this particular age, you are now at retirement age, other than the fact that you can apply for a SASSA a grant at that particular age if you don't have enough money to sustain you, right? But there is no law that says you are now at retirement age, you must now retire. Secondly, I'm getting the understanding that there is the reality of companies determining for themselves, according to their own policies, what retirement age, given the type of work that is done by that particular company. So again, there seems not to be an objective situation here that we can look to and make, and this all makes it sound very arbitrary. And then it goes to the issues that you raise about the fairness of this whole thing, the issue of the law, not the law, the constitution as it pertains to issues of ageism and so forth. It just sounds all very arbitrary for me, Maud. For a country that has such a sophisticated legal system, the issue of retirement of workers sounds very, very arbitrary. And most of us thought that the age of retirement for women was supposed to be 60 year olds, and then for men 65 year olds. Where did we get that from? I remember having a conversation at some point, can't remember, but where does that come from, the idea that women retire at 60 and then women and men at 65? Where does that come from?
I don't know. I think maybe they thought women need to rest because we do so much of the free work at home, so we deserve to go home earlier. But, I mean, if you look at longevity, then you should be really be saying that women should be working longer and not shorter periods.
Precisely.
I think the for workers, it would be important to look at the policy right from the moment they sign a contract, to maybe negotiate an option to remain on longer depending on their health. You know, that's certainly what I would advise, especially people in managerial and executive positions. What does happen in a number of companies, they would keep the person on but move them over to a consultant position. So you would be officially retired as an employee at 60 or 65, depending on the company policy, but you would remain available as a consultant, and that's not to lose the skills. It obviously becomes more complicated when you are in an environment that requires physical work, because then, you know, some of us can live to 90 and 100 and still be physically fit, and others, you know, have unfortunate incidents or they have genetics that don't allow them to do physical work beyond the age of 50 or 60. So I think it will depend from the type of work you do right from the beginning. If we think, for instance, of civil engineering as a job, that would require a lot of walking on uneven ground, you know, a lot of site visits and that type of thing, which might not be suitable to a 70-year-old person. And also, if you consider the huge volume of unemployed youth in the country, if you raise the constitutional aspect of ageism, then, you know, the Constitution also allows us to proffer a reasonable defence to it. Then a possible defence would be, look, we've got all these unemployed youth with skills that we need to pull into the marketplace. And, you know, the people that are now over a particular age might not be contributing what the younger generation can contribute, which is debatable, and I'm using that only as an example. But there are ways and means where a company can. Also, it's very much salary orientated, I would think, as well, because you would reach a point in, and actuaries will tell you when they calculate income, for instance, that you reach your highest level of income, they would say at age 45, and that is what is statistically shown. Most people in professional careers would go much higher than that, from 50 upwards. But for the average person by age 45, you've reached a career ceiling. And from there on, it's only inflationary increases. But at a point, you would become too expensive for what you offer. Again, making it reasonable to have a particular retirement age, because you might be earning way above what maybe two younger qualified people could be contributing. So there certainly are reasons that a company can proffer why it's necessary to retire people at a particular age. But I think that's something that people need to look at when they sign a contract, and maybe put in a proviso for themselves that they have the option to extend that contract based on health reasons, or maybe even take a cut in their salary if they want to remain on, or you know, pay their own pension going forward if the pension fund, like it was in that case, stopped at age 65. You know, that was a very strange argument to me, honestly, unless it was a company-enforced pension fund.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, that guy could just, or those people could just have moved their pension fund to their own pensions. But obviously that was something that in that case was important. So we can't say that that particular case sets a precedent going forward for every single company or every single person. I would say that, you know, everything has to be judged on a subjective as well as an objective basis.
Sure.
You need to know what the circumstances are within your company. And if you feel there's something wrong, that suddenly they're ticking on you and using your age, then you certainly have a right to raise a dispute. If you are an employer, I would say that you need to be super careful not to look like you are dismissing because of age, and rather that that is a policy that you strictly implement.
Yeah. I want to take some calls, and let me ask our listeners this question. Do you know the retirement policy of your company? Give me a call. I mean, if you know it, give me a call. And are there any concessions that can be made in that policy in terms of age, in terms of fitness to be able to continue to do that job? I'm interested to hear your thoughts about this on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. Maud, we'll go into the case that, you know, that has raised some of these questions, because I find it very weird that the courts said that it was fair, even with the tacit proof of the intention of the company to continue employing these people, that it was fair to dismiss these individuals because of their age. I mean, if anything was ever ageist, then that's that reason. But we'll have that conversation. We've got a couple of calls on 011-883-0702. And what do you make of the fact that we don't have a law? Yeah? We don't have a law, folks, that says that this is the retirement age. All of these are company-specific policies. That, for me, is really, really weird. The idea that simply because of your age, you are somehow no longer going to have needs that require a job because you simply are of a particular age is scary. And just the idea that somebody is of a particular age and therefore irrelevant for the job market sounds to me operationally insane, because these are the people that have the experience, the temperament, the understanding of a particular job that perhaps a younger person wouldn't have. Yes, I understand the issue of the fact that we've got younger people that we need to bring into the mainstream of the economy and all of those kinds of things. But does that mean this must happen at the expense of the elderly or of senior citizens? I'm interested to hear your thoughts about that. I just find it weird. Maud Letsia is my guest, advocate from Barta McKellar Attorneys. And if you've been dismissed because of your age, give me a call. What did they say to you? And what are you doing now? Does that mean that you no longer have any expenses because you happen to be of a particular age? Give me a call. I'd really like to hear about this. I find it, to say the least, I find it very unfair. Let me speak to Phil in Waterkloof. Phil?
Hi, my brother. Good evening, and thank you for hosting for with your guest.
Yeah.
You know, the concept of retirement dismissal because of age, it doesn't exist. It's not there in organizational behavior or HR. You get retired because of your age, which was set, the deadline which was set, you know, arbitrarily by yourself when you entered into a psychological contract, a promissory and reciprocal contract, where you say, I'll work for you until 60, you will pay me until 60. And did that get determined before you entered into it, and it becomes part of the contract agreement, that is 60 or 65. Now, once the dismissal is something, it can be for misconduct or it can be for whatever. So I want to unpack those two concepts of saying there can be something called the dismissal, whatever. Dismissal can be for misconduct, it can be for whatever. It can happen at any age before the agreed age of treaty. There is this thing of people who reach the employment age, 60 or 65, but because due to whatever organizational needs, they do not have necessary people who can occupy these things. They can agree on the extensions 1 year or 2 years and what. But because they have agreed on this particular, there is non-performance or whatever, maybe they've recruited a new person into the organization. Then they decide to terminate those particular. Yes, when there's a contract to say you are going to extend for me for 5 years or 10 years, and then you extend it, you want to terminate it earlier than that, then that concept can kick in there. That is the most important thing to say, that the we need to separate those particular terms.
Well, let me say this to you, Prophet.
Yes.
I hear you. And I don't think you're saying anything different to what my guest is saying. My guest is simply saying that there is no law in the statute books that says that a person must be retired at age 60 or 65. These are company policies, and I'm finding that quite strange. But also, this particular case, and you'll hear now as Maud explains it to us, there's a case where people were dismissed. And then they took that case to the courts to say, but we've been dismissed because of our age here. The court said it was fair for them to be dismissed. So we're going
to... But it was in the case where there was never any determined age. When there's a determined age...
There is a determined age. Raphael, hold on.
Yes.
Just listen to the case study we're going to talk about now. Because clearly there is a determined age, because they speak of retirement age. And these individuals were dismissed because they had passed the retirement age. That says to me that there is a specific retirement age. Even though it is not a matter of law, it is a matter of policy in that particular company. But please listen to what Maud is going to say to you. All right, Brafil in Waterkloof, much appreciated. Lumka is in Boksburg. Hi, Lumka.
Hi, Aubrey.
Yeah.
You know, I work, I don't know whether I should name the company, the organization that I'm working for, but we are the lawyer organization.
Yeah.
And it was introduced, it was made to be a policy that we should retire at 60 years.
Yeah.
You know? So, people took the employer to court, but exactly the judges, they said that, no, you know, there's no unfairness and it's unreasonable, you know, something of that nature.
Yeah. Now, exactly as in the case that Maud and I are going to speak about, because the court said it is not unfair. In other words, it is fair for a person to be dismissed on the basis of their age and the understanding of a retirement age within that company. So I agree with you, yeah?
Which Aubrey, for me, being in the judiciary and the judiciary looking at the age of the bench, you know, they always emphasize on experience.
Yes.
Yes. And you know what? I'm in the committee, the equity committee.
Yeah.
I'm going to raise this. It's been raised before, but I'm bringing it back because it is very detrimental to black women.
Yeah.
Because even getting into those positions, Aubrey, it took us time to be in those positions. Now, not considering the past of especially a black woman.
Hello, Lumka? Lumka in Boksburg. Oh, my. I'm sorry to... Lumka, is Lumka there? I think we've just lost Lumka. See, perhaps we'll get a hold of Lumka. Maud, let's go into this particular case. And I've sort of avoided naming company names and so forth because I don't have deep pockets in case they come after me and try to sue me. but let's talk about the particular case study that you and I have been sort of reading about and talking about. What happened there? Hello, Maud. It looks like we've lost all our guests. Maud Letzia is advocate from Barter McKellar Attorneys. Let's see if we can't get a hold of her again. I see Lumka is back. Lumka, good evening to you. You were explaining to me about how this particular policy, because it's not a law, is detrimental specifically to black women.
Yes.
Yep.
Because we get to these positions, already there's this predicament. You are not going to enjoy the longest years that your counterpart before these policies, because coincidentally, these policies started creeping in when there was black empowerment. That's what I argue for, because all along, everybody has been happy with retiring at 65, and there's empowerment, we're getting into positions, and, you know, the worst part of it, there's lots, because sometimes it will also go with the entry level.
Oh, let me just stop you there. So in the company that you work for, the policy was the age of retirement was 65.
Yes.
It was then dropped for black women, or for women specifically, but of course...
No, for everybody.
Oh, to 60.
Yes.
And this is a policy now in that particular company.
Yes.
And you are raising the issue to say that given the historic... oppression
background
of women specifically, and more specifically black women, this becomes very unfair, because that means that those women, and more specifically black women, will not be able to enjoy the upward mobility that was as a result of the momentum of them getting into these industries to begin with.
Thank you very much.
Lumka in Boksburg.
That's
thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you very much for your call. Much appreciated. Maud, I'd like for us to just go into this particular case. I've got to tell you right now, Maud, I think this is so grossly unfair. But that's just me.
I think we need to start off from a point where we need to remember that contractual freedom is very highly regarded in our law, and it's only if that contractual freedom unfairly infringes someone's rights that it would be investigated.
Yeah.
But I think what we have to remember is that every single one of those people signed an agreement where they agreed that retirement age is a particular age and they will be allowed to continue their work until I think it was 67.
Yes.
I think what becomes problematic in this case and I haven't had sight of the transcript, so I don't know what all the arguments were in court, but I would personally have found difficulty with the fact that they were told after the fact that they are now going to be dismissed on age. So it either was a situation where the HR overlooked the fact that they have reached that age and informed them that termination was necessary at an early stage. And then when they did realize that there's a group of people that have reached retirement age, looked at maybe the aspects surrounding those individuals and then decided to implement the policy. That's the feeling I get without having been in court and having argued it. The Labour Court obviously felt different, and that's why they thought it wasn't unfair. In the Business Insider article that was, I think, also quoted somewhere on one of your platforms, there is reference by Worksmen to the fact that the court found it not unfair because it was a clear policy that was implemented. And because there was a policy, it wasn't unfair to implement it. So I don't so much have an issue with the policy as the manner in which it was implemented. So that's why I said earlier on that my advice to employers would be, if you have a policy like that, to make sure that it's universally applied, that there's adequate notice, and that there's no underlying reasons why you are implementing it, like disciplinary difficulties, maybe races involved, or anything like that, that now suddenly makes you look at these people and say, oh, wait, we can fire them because they've actually reached retirement age, because that would be seriously problematic. And I think if that is properly investigated, and I'm not saying that was the issue in this particular case, but if it is investigated and that is found, then having a company policy of retirement, but you are using other reasons to import that policy and enforce it, then the actual contractual relationship stands on the side of those other reasons you have to dismiss them simply without following the correct disciplinary procedures or operational reasons. Let's look at it that way. Say during COVID, your company was struggling and you suddenly realized you have 10 people over the age of 65. Oh, wait, let's fire them because we're allowed to, because that's what our contract says. You know, so it's not really about the age. It's about operational reasons. So if there's any underlying factor that makes you suddenly implement that policy, then that would then go to unfairness.
Maud, in this particular case, and if you don't mind, just giving us, you know, who was involved, maybe a quick, you know, quick background of that particular case. Because I want to establish, first of all, whether the dismissal of these individuals was as a result of age or was it as a result of other operational issues. My understanding is that the Labour Court dismissed these people because they were, or the Labour Court agreed that this was a fair decision by the company to dismiss them because of their age. Help me with the facts of this particular case.
Well, in this matter, a solidarity basically argued the matter on behalf of the individuals, where the named individual is Mr. Stradon and five others, and then the respondent in the matter or defendant was the State Information Technology Agency. Now, just to maybe from what Lunga has said earlier on as well about company policy, and she mentioned the judiciary, they are, you know, whatever this company's policies were, one cannot argue with the policy itself unless you take it on at the time that you actually signed the contract. Or if you renegotiate it at a later stage, you might start off there as the person that brings the mail in. You then study and you get promoted and you go to a managerial position. You suddenly realize that retirement age is 60, or you have always known, and you now feel at the age of 50 that you're actually capable of working till the age of 70. Then it becomes a matter of negotiation, and you can say to them, look, I want to work up until the age of 70. But I think what the court here looked at, and that's, I think, why the pension aspect was raised, because even medical aids and your cover for your medical, for your benefits. So if you are self-employed and you have cover, income cover, even that cover only goes to a specific age of 60 or 65. So you can't take out cover like that beyond the age of 65. So even if you take out that cover at, say, the age of 60, it's only still going to cover you for 5 years. So actuarially speaking and looking at risk factors all across South Africa, it is implemented in the manner in which they calculate your medical aids, your pension fund, your income continuation benefits, all of that. So everything that is calculated at the end of the day to work out your cost to company is based on the fact that you will retire at a specific age.
So let me understand you, Maud. So the decisions as to whether somebody is retired at a particular age is not because of some deep humanitarian reason that we're making space for the younger people. It's because it's expensive. I mean, is that what it boils down to? It really boils down to saying that it's really expensive to keep the services of an older person. And it's got nothing to do with, oh, we're making space for the younger people. The younger people are getting into this economic space because they're cheap.
Could that
be the idiot's version of understanding what you've just said now?
I think that depends on the type of profession, but I think for the most part, juniors coming into a professional career, for instance, will be a lot cheaper. If you just look at advocates, a junior advocate, even if it's somebody that comes from the attorney's profession with 30 years experience, would be a lot cheaper than a senior counsel that might have been doing the work for a lot less, because there's a certain expectation of fees if you are a junior. Lunga referred to the judiciary briefly. Even the judges have a specific retirement age. And if you enter the profession at a later stage, you are not entitled to a lifelong pension. So you have to work as a judge for 15 years to get a lifelong pension. And what you said about women, and in particular black women, taking much longer to get there, she's absolutely correct. And that happens in a lot of professions, that because females are not given the opportunity to get the big jobs and the big cases, they tend to get to the point where they can apply for senior counsel much later, which means that the opportunities they have to apply for a judiciary position happens much later. So, yes, there are determinations that infringe. But then, again, that's something we can fight. It's something we can raise. It's something we can go to court. You know, it's something you can dispute in your contractual agreement. I mean, if we think of Judge Satchwell, as she then was, I mean, she took on the department to get pension to her female partner, to her life partner, and she succeeded. You know, so that was somebody that took on the system. So, you know, if you...
No, look, let me say this. I get the right and ability for people to fight a particular policy if they think that it's wrong, right? Mine is still really at a more fundamental place, to say that the very space in which a policy of that nature can be allowed to exist is problematic. I'm not disputing the policy itself. I'm saying that if there are so many inconsistencies, and secondly, and by inconsistencies, I'm looking at the judiciary itself is made up mostly of people that are past that so-called retirement age. Secondly, the politicians themselves are all generally above that so-called retirement age, and they're looking for more terms to go in there. I'm simply saying that this policy space is a little bit arbitrary and seems only to be, for lack of a better word, enforced in careers where people don't have the kinds of influence that a politician or a judge or a magistrate or even a talk show host can. I mean, we don't have those kinds of policies. I probably could go on and on and on and on and be a bore forever. But the fact of the matter is that those kinds of policies don't exist. And the fact that companies can arbitrarily have these kinds of policies and have our courts deem them fair seems to me deeply unfair, Maud.
Yeah, I hear you. And I mean, I'm 52 now, and if I was working in a company and somebody had to say to me, look, you are too old, you need to retire in 8 years, I'll probably laugh, you know, in their faces because, you know, my career trajectory is going up, not down. You know, but that is the case in certain professional careers, but it's certainly not like that for everybody. You get teaching, for instance, where people have been paying pension all their lives, and they can't wait to retire when their turn comes because they are simply exhausted by the job they do, and they certainly wouldn't want to carry on. So, you know, so I agree with you. For me personally, it is unfair to tell somebody you have to retire at 60 or 65, and that, you know, doesn't matter what your health situation is, we no longer need you, and go out and have fun, especially in a country where people don't have the kind of savings that can allow them to have a good life after retirement. And people are so desperate to keep their jobs for until 70, 75. And I think with people also living a lot longer, maybe that is something that should be looked at. You know, that as much as there's a youth employment opportunities, maybe there should be a retirement employment opportunities where people that are over a specific age and who were forced to retire because of company policies are given opportunities for jobs that where they might impart and transfer their knowledge and skills.
I want to take one call from Richard in Sandton. Hi, Richard. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you should look at it from exactly the other way around from the way you're looking at it. If you have a very large company, and let's be honest, everybody gets to an age where they become less and less capable of doing the job. You know, it may be at 65, it may be at 75, it may be at 80. But what are you going to do if you don't have a specific cutoff age? And I'm not talking about every industry in the world, but some industries, you say, listen, when you get to 63, you're going to retire. Then you can become a consultant, you can do something else. If you don't do that, then some guy starts becoming senile, let's say at 67, and you fire him. Another guy is still going like a Boeing at 77. And people say, well, why did you fire the other guy? So what are you going to do?
Because he was senile.
You give him a test.
Because he was senile, Richard. I'm saying if there are objective ways of testing whether somebody has got the capability of doing the job or not, then we must do that.
Are there ways of doing that? If you don't like him, you say you're not doing the job. It would be the biggest. The lawyers would
True. That would be true for anybody at any age in any job. If somebody has got it in for you and is wanting to get you out, regardless of whether you're old or not, that person could do that. My issue here is that
no, they could. No, not so quick. Would be straight off. You'd have to really prove that they couldn't do their job.
Precisely, and that would be the same responsibility that you'd have for the older person. My issue here, Richard, is this, that if you are saying that somebody is unable to do a job because they're senile, that's objective. That's clear. No problem. Then the person must get out. But we can't say that in a constitution such as ours, we can't be saying that because you're of a particular age, then you must be out. It's like saying if you're black, you must get out. If you're white, you must get out. I mean, it's just...
No. You don't get blacker or whiter as you get older. I mean,
Richard, come on. You're much more intelligent than what I've just...
I'm saying to you... making a stupid argument.
Okay, Richard, Richard, thank you very much for your call. Stupid argument. Tonic says, why would 65-year-olds want to be employed, Mara? Kanti, do people not raise grandchildren anymore? By the time you get to 50, you should be training young people, especially in South Africa. I agree with you, but then get paid for it. Yeah? I mean, does it mean that once you get to a particular age, you don't eat anymore? You don't have any expenses anymore? that you are quite frankly dead because you are 65? Really? I don't agree. Let me speak to Maud. Maud, obviously, this can be a very, very heated conversation. Where does it go? Where does the South African law go?
I think I actually, to a certain extent, agree with Richard, is that a company has to be a policy that can be enforced. And he did say that, you know, that in a large company, consultancy positions would be offered. And I know that a lot of attorney firms work like that. And I think that is an option that you can maybe negotiate when you sign your agreement, to say, look, the company policy is 65. If you feel you are still healthy and we agree with you, you can apply to remain a consultant for another 5 years and transfer your pension, your medical aid, whatever, for your own account. But I think what Richard was raising is the risk to, if there's no determined policy, to then let somebody go that maybe then has health issues, because then it takes you 6 to 12 months to go through all the labour relations determinations, the CCMA, all the way to reviews and labour court before a decision is made. And in that period, there's nobody else that you can employ into that position. Look, it's very much a 50-50, and it will depend from company to company. But like that other lady said, she wants to retire at 60, 65. And I certainly know a lot of people that are very excited of the possibility to retire. But those are people who provided for themselves, who have pension funds,
sure,
who have savings, whose house are paid. And that is not the majority of South Africans. So I think there I didn't agree with you that we should maybe look at a situation where when that is enforced, how it is enforced, and that there is a standardized policy. Considering, for instance, to go back to parliamentarians, if you look at the amount of money that members of parliament earn, I mean, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people in their 30s and 40s with sufficient experience that would be happy to get that kind of money at the end of a month and to contribute to our political landscape. And maybe we can argue that some of our politicians show definite mental incapacities and should not be running the country. You know, so there's an argument for that also to be made. But as you said earlier, the people that implement these policies, the people that have to make these laws, they might not be in a position where they would want to enforce it because it will be applicable to themselves.
Can we agree that there is no law at the moment? There's no such thing as a law of that nature. And those that can create policies that work for them on the basis of the cost, quite frankly, not because people can't work or people don't have the competency to continue, but rather because it's more expensive to keep older people in businesses.
Yeah, I think it was never about competency or about, I think, how many people don't you hear that say, oh, I want to retire at 40 or oh, I want to retire at 50. You know, that's sort of everybody's dream to go and travel the world and spend a whole lot of money that they made in those 20 or 30 years that they were in gainful employment. But the scenarios that
Maud, I'm so sorry. You and I have gone past our time. How do people get in touch with you, by the way?
They can send me an email on maud@bartonmckellar.law.
Maud Letta, thank you so much for joining us, advocate from Barta McKellar Attorney.